Elbphilharmonie Talk, der Gesprächspodcast der Elbphilharmonie.
We have been presenting a fair amount of Portuguese singers in the past years. Marisa, the star of Fado, performed 4 times in Elbphilharmonie's Grand Hall, and before that she came to Laeishalle. Carminho sang a couple times in both halls. Antonio Zambuja was here twice. Sara Correa, Lura, Anamura. No lack of great voices from Lusitania. But jazz from Portugal? Well, there's only a few names from this wonderful country in the far southwest of Europe anyways that made it onto the stages elsewhere and into the consciousness of jazz lovers on a global scale. And that would be Maria João, Mario Laginja, Carlos Bica. Now, we have got to add another name to this very short list, Julio Rezende. This very fine pianist played a sold-out concert in Elbphilharmonie's Recital Hall in early May 2024 with his Fado Jazz Ensemble, consisting of Bruno Chaveiro on the Portuguese guitar, André Rosinha bass and Alexandre Frazão on drums. The audience was extremely excited pretty much right from the start. I couldn't attend the concert myself due to other obligations, but I listened to a great portion of the band's soundcheck earlier that day. And the morning after, I met Julio Rezende because I wanted to learn more about how one can make a living playing jazz in Portugal, a genre which to me seems like a niche within a niche within a niche. But more importantly, I wanted to know what it means for him having created a kind of fusion between jazz, which is the art of improvising, and Fado, this unique heritage of culture and sound that Portugal has brought to the table of the music of this world. I am Tom Schulz. I have been working since 8 years plus at the Elbphilharmonie in Laeishalle in Hamburg. Before that, I was a music journalist and occasional festival curator. I have listened to and loved jazz for the most part of my life, and I have followed these few Portuguese jazz greats there were, like the aforementioned Maria João or the double bass player Carlos Bica. I have the deepest respect also for all the wonderful fadistas, and I'm a big fan of the Portuguese guitar, the, so to speak, endemic musical instrument from this country. Julio and I, we spoke about all of these subjects, and of course we also spoke about the revolution, which took place in Portugal exactly a half century ago, in the spring of 1974, in the streets of Lisbon. This upheaval made its way into the world history books under the moniker Peaceful Revolution or Carnation Revolution. The reason for this being that instead of shooting down the people who wanted to abolish dictatorship, the soldiers of the Portuguese army kept the red carnations, those flowers that the protesters had stuck into their gun barrels and refused to use their weapons against their people. Sons of Revolution was the subtitle of that concert with the Julio Rezende Fado Jazz Ensemble in Hamburg, because that's what they are. Julio and his bandmates, sons of the revolution. They owe their lives to the courage and the power of the Portuguese people who changed their country forever 50 years ago. Thank you for listening to this podcast. I hope you enjoy our conversation.
I must be honest and tell you, you know it, I was not able to attend the concert yesterday, but I went to the soundcheck and I heard you play. I heard the band play. The entire soundtrack through. I heard you play solo. I heard you play with your wonderful bandmates. And I was really, really impressed because, of course, I think it was dedicated the program somehow to 50 years of Portuguese Revolution, which took place 8 years before you were born. Even. Mm-hmm. So one question would be, what's your relation to this history before your birth? You have been born into a quite different Portugal than...
Yes. And that's
lucky,
I
would say.
Yes, and that's my relation with that. So I know how lucky I am and how people fought against dictatorship in order to give me and themselves a new kind of world, a world with freedom of thought and freedom of speech, and freedom to be a jazz musician or be a fado musician. That's it. It's a completely new world that that was inaugurated by the revolution. We call it a revolution because it was a new world. It's not a revolution in the terms of blood, because it was this we call it the Carnation Revolution, because it was very peaceful. In a way, of course, it was too tragical before, but the day of the revolution and the changing was so marvelous. The military helped the people to recover the power. The military didn't keep the power for themselves. It was wonderful. This is magnificent. Normally, it didn't work. It doesn't work like this.
It would have been a putsch, and then again, it would be the military taking over again. In this case, it wasn't. It wasn't like that.
Yes. The military give back the to the people their power and the democracy, and we start a new democracy there. And 50 years later, we still need to fight for that democracy each day. But it will be like that for forever. But that's good when you fight for love and freedom and freedom of yourself and freedom of the other ones, all the other ones to dialogue with you.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
What struck me so particularly with the Portuguese so-called revolution, Carnation Revolution, you call it, was of course, the peacefulness for one, and then the music. There was this song of José Afonso's, Grandola Vila Morena. And I remember that my mother bought the record back then.
Wow.
She was so impressed with it, and we listened to this music very much and loved it really. And I was wondering, did you perform that song yesterday in the concert? Is it still of importance for the Portuguese?
No, it's really, really important. This record is a celebration of the spirit of the revolution and in the end of dictatorship and the end of the colonial wars. So Africa,
all the African
music,
tragedies.
It's there also.
Yeah.
So it was very important to me to celebrate not only the end of dictatorship in Portugal, but also the end of the colonial wars. And it's more about that. I have a song of Zeca Afonso that I'm playing solo, not that one. It's called, it has another name, and it's another song. But
tell me the name.
It's Traz Outro Amigo Também. This means bring another friend with you.
Cool.
But Grandola, that song that you are singing to me, it's the most, well, the hymn of
it
the revolution.
Become, yes, like the musical symbol
of
the revolution.
True.
So leaping forward to your early youth, you played piano, classical piano, and as far as I know, there's a very old European, I think the oldest European jazz club even still running
nowadays, in
Lisboa. But apart from that, I think jazz didn't have such a terrible standing in Portugal. I mean, there are some people like Maria João, Mario Laguinha, the pianist, Carlos Bica, the double bass player, who's living in Berlin. So some names come up, but it's not much. And now you are doing this for quite some time, and I wonder how did you get in touch in the first place, also with the life aspect of this music?
I was obliged to leave my hometown in the south of Portugal and go to Lisbon when
you
I was
from Faro, right?
Yes, from Faro, and really in the south of Portugal. And when I study, I study philosophy, but I decided to go to Lisbon and not to some other cities, because Lisbon has this odd club, very beautiful jazz club, raised in also during the dictatorship, but like clandestine.
So Salazar would every now and then maybe even sneak in and listen to some of the bad music?
No.
You don't think so?
Impossible. And there's no any story about that. I would love that to hear that story, but no, there's no. They were really stubborn
and totally against this kind
of. Well, people, when they have this kind of laws that are compressing you to don't do anything, you find ways to do something. So that was the art club also trying to make her own concerts, and of course fighting in silence and with the music against the dictatorship.
The system,
of course, music that talks about freedom
is anathema to any dictatorship.
Yes, of course.
That's true.
And I went to Lisbon and I started to go every day to the club to see the people playing. That was the most important.
And were these mostly local players then, so that there existed some scene, or were they all coming from abroad?
Yes, local players, but also abroad. So we have jam sessions, more local players, of course. The concerts, local players, more famous, and the famous local players are from the country. And then also, Art Club is a very old jazz club, so there is already a European musicians flow
kind of
going there. And normally they play like three nights in a row.
Yeah.
So it was good for having some abroad musicians. So it was wonderful. It was a wonderful time of my life.
Were you still in the position like in the olden days, like musicians in Scandinavia, for instance, then the soloist from the US would come, Dexter Gordon or somebody, and he would just pick up a Danish rhythm section.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
were
mm-hmm.
you in the position to play with American or European soloists who would just know you already and say, Jules, will you play three nights with me, and
you would
learn also by this, not only by listening, but also by playing with all these people?
Yes, I was invited for that. Also for I remember a singer from UK and some other players. But and I also remember someone very famous, but it was not Dexter. I think Dexter came with his band, and maybe Benny Golson.
Oh, okay, yeah. Quite likely still running, I think, this guy.
Well, that came in and play with the Portuguese players at the time. Also, Charlie Aden made a record with Amália. No, with Carlos Paredes, I'm sorry. Oh. It was Don Baia that make a record with Amália, the father, the most important fado singer.
Don Baez,
yes.
The saxophone player.
And Charlie Aden made a record with Carlos Paredes, the most important Portuguese guitarist.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
And Charlie Aden, is, we have to say this to our audience, is one of the most wonderful bass players ever lived in the US.
Yes, Charlie Aden.
Liberation Music Orchestra and a wonderful chamber music player and great soul.
Yes, one of the most inspired.
And you were allowed to play with Charlie Aden then in this club? Did you make
No. When they recorded that record, I was not born yet.
Long ago.
Yes, it was like in the 70s.
When
they were there in Lisbon, and the director of the art club, he loved jazz, and he also loved any kind of great musicians. So he decided to try to combine them, and the Portuguese great musicians with these great jazz musicians. Well, the records are not very good because they didn't have the time to understand themselves in a very particular way, and all the feelings about the songs. But it's the first experience of brotherhood, sisterhood, whatever.
And a way to combine, to bridge between the Portuguese music and improvising musicians coming to.
Yes. The truth is that the director of the art club was a very, 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 very forward person.
Forward-thinking person.
Yes, forward-thinking.
Visionary kind of person.
Yes. Visionary, completely visionary. Great guy.
Yeah, that's good because, I mean, especially Charlie Aden, who grew up in a song family himself, so he's so linked to the singing and to the vocal aspect of music, and his playing is always so melodious or was so melodious that it really fits like a hand in a glove.
Yes.
Having him together with
So that's it. I went to Lisbon, and it changed my life also in a professional ways, in these professional ways, because I start to get more involved with all the concerts, to see concerts, and then start getting involved with playing concerts step by step. I have my chances to make my music and to make my concerts with my music.
Mm-hmm. Then you went to Paris, studied for a while in Paris.
Yes.
So broadening the scope of what would be possible. Hearing you play yesterday, I was really touched by trying to put a finger on it. Where do all these influences come from? So, of course, I think the way you phrase melody has something to do with your own song tradition.
Mm-hmm.
It is very articulate, it's very clear, and it's not hazy at all. It's quite, yeah, as I say, articulate. And then you have this tone. I was reminded of Keith Jarrett in a phase when he did Staircase record. I don't know if you know this one.
The Staircase?
Staircase, okay. Double album. So not the overwhelming, you know, gospel kind of stuff of Keith's, but some clarity in it and some singing.
Singing is very important to me.
I found that vocal quality in pretty much everything you play on the piano is so...
The piano for me needs to... Well, of course, when I'm playing this fado jazz, this fado soul in my music, I want to sing. I always love to sing. I always love composers that are singing with their tunes, with their songs, and you know, of course, also I'm talking about classical composers. Well, and big and deep melodies, I don't know how to say it, powerful, fragile, so, but the singing quality, the cantabile, it's completely one of the things that I like the most, and I try to give that, and fado has that. Fado, it's a way, when you are singing fado, normally you sing as you have no tomorrow. That's why it's so
mm-hmm.
great.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we have this also this slogan, like the main slogan for fado, it's like a saying.
Yeah,
it's a beautiful saying. I think it's the most beautiful saying about a musical genre that you can hear about. It's called, when you are, we say about fado, silencio, that you will hear the fado. Silencio que se vai cantar o fado. That means silence. That the fado will be singed. So people know about fado that they need to have silence.
Silence, so that the fado can be sung. So
yes,
that,
yes.
Okay.
So,
yeah.
Yes. So you have this saying about the genre, musical genre, that you need silence, and you need to respect the catharsis that people will give to you. So it's like this fragile silence and the powerful catharsis singing, way of singing that you will hear well, or that you will hear to play. So it's very unique. I know normally when people think about music, they think about sound, but maybe, fado thinks about silence also.
But then, Giulio, what I find so interesting is so many people say, you know, melody is so important, and of course melody is important, but the phrasing of the melody is so specific in fado.
If that's,
I mean,
true. That's
your
true.
Language really demands another kind of going about with every note, and this is exactly what I found in your playing. It's so vocal in the best sense of the word, even as if there would be hidden lyrics underneath or something, you know, that you really... that all the phrasing is really coming out of the specific fado, what you described beautifully, the clarity in it, and then there is this saudade view, if you may,
yes.
may say so, and the presence of both energies at the same time and changing in a split second and going back and forth, and this is a deeply emotional music, of course.
Completely. It is. It's that's why I like it so much. And I think I try to when I combine fado and jazz, I try to join this deepness of fado and the joy of freedom and also the craziness of freedom, but keeping the trying to keep when I can all this emotional and cantabile and singing piano. My piano, it's like a voice singing the mm-hmm, fado. Mm-hmm, and of course, mm-hmm. I studied the Portuguese guitar history and the fado singers. So I study in a way that I try to incorporate it in my sound. So, and that's it. It was natural to me because I love jazz, I love fado. It was natural to try to combine them, you know, in a way. I'm trying my ways. I made this solo record for the first in 2013, mm-hmm. and then I started to make these records with the ensemble.
Yeah,
that's it.
Do you feel that the records really represent who you are, or do they?
Well, I think all the records, fortunately, I think all the records represent what I was on that time. And I always try to make like original songs and an original approach. So I made those three first records in Clean Feed Records, it's mm-hmm. a very famous jazz label. And then I started to make these fado records, fado jazz records in Sony in Portugal. And was great because Sony is a major label and also can I feel that we don't have to jazz doesn't mean that you only need to play for a niche. I would say
niche. Yeah.
And then ACT took over and I'm very happy and honored and proud with that. It's we'll have like several records to make together. We have already two called Fado Jazz and this last one called Sons of Revolution. It's and also called Fado Jazz.
Yeah. I caught you in one particular way of playing, which surprised me and totally didn't surprise me at all, because speaking about the phrasing of your melodies, you had even this moment where you would just horizontally do as if you would play a vibrato on the piano, and everybody knows that technically there is no such thing as a vibrato
yes,
on the piano.
It's true.
But seeing your finger, you giving this little extra stress on certain notes, I felt, oh, okay, he is also into this.
Yes, I agree with you, and don't know the truth. Yes, there is no vibrato, but if you maybe when you try to imagine you also are more able to create something that can design that. I don't know how to say it. But it's also maybe you are feeling the vibrato in your body.
Oh yeah.
And you want to and you put in the end of the finger you put that. But
it's a bit like homeopathy, you know. It's like the energetic transmission of something that's not really, you can't prove it, but it makes a difference.
Yes, it makes a difference. I don't know. Piano has and this kind of instruments that you don't need to breathe. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Normally, you can play like lots of notes.
Yeah. Yeah,
lots playing. You don't need to breathe with your hands. But so when I'm trying to sing, I'm trying to breathe also, and I'm trying to vibrate. So maybe it's that way of emulate that feeling.
And I really must compliment you on the little that I was able to hear from you playing yesterday, that you really have gotten into some very organic way of combining this improvisation part from the jazz with the fado. Because even if you were playing, like you had some little free explosions in the quartet section in the piece that I heard, where I felt, yeah, that's clearly jazz, but it's totally it's coming out of yourself, and it's justified. It's linked to what you've been played before, what you will be playing afterwards. It's somehow an organic way of your expression, and that's something quite wonderful, I find.
Thank you. I'm happy to hear that. But the most difficult part of this ensemble was to join the Portuguese guitar in a kind of trio, piano trio, jazz piano trio, kind of that. I'm not a jazz piano trio. I'm like I was saying. I'm a fado musician also. I understand about fado and know about fado. I'm playing it, so I know. I knew that I could be able to bring the Portuguese guitar that has no connection to jazz at all. Nowadays it has, and it's yes, yeah. And more people are making it right now. But that was the most difficult part, to bring Bruno and the Portuguese guitar to the trio, but because it needs to be organic, I have all my. It needs to be natural, it needs to be organic, and it needs to fit, needs to create a new journey and some new traveling, some new imaginations, but it needs to be really, really good when you that's my wish. And well, it wasn't Bruno was very, 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 I would say, courageous,
yeah,
brave. And it was really hard for him in the beginning, the first rehearsals, the first live sessions that we are making at my place and my studio. But step by step, he got in touch with different rhythmic metrics, not just 4-4-4, mm-hmm, but 7-4. Mm-hmm. 5-4. So, but he was really, really smart. And he tried to study a little bit more about jazz, and I already know about fado, so I understand his difficulties, and I understood his virtues.
Yeah.
So I put the trio also helping all this guitar nature. Portuguese guitar nature.
Meaning that you had that sound in mind and that option and that qualities of
yes, like,
when you were composing.
Yeah, for example, the cantabile. So the quartet needs to hear even more, hear with your ears, even try to listen more and more about the other. Jazz musicians, they are great listeners, but sometimes because of like this technique, maybe you have you can have also too many notes.
Yeah.
Fado has this like
I told you.
I'm sorry.
This economy of not
economy,
having,
yes,
of not
economy.
Having too many notes.
Yes, the silence,
yeah.
The silence and the sound. So I put the trio trying to respect all that, and also trying to inspire Bruno to make some other approaches.
Say me again, Bruno's last name is
Chaveiro.
Chaveiro.
It's a Portuguese name.
He really needs to be praised. I was totally stunned by his playing.
Great.
And I must say, I was trying to figure out what's so special about this Portuguese guitar. And why does it really, is this the name? And it is the name. Because it's so utterly Portuguese that you would always almost speak of an endemic instrument. This is just existing in your culture. You must hear one note of this instrument, you know, fado, Portugal. No other country has this uniqueness of instrument. I've been thinking about it a while. Maybe I'm wrong and somebody will prove me wrong, but accordion in France, of course, musette, but accordion in all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
All kinds of flutes, stuff, shakuhachi, Japan, but still this instrument, one note, and I know where I am. And he is brilliant. I mean, he does
sure.
All this intricacy, you know, all these things that you barely hear. And so important rhythmically feeding the music from that part. and being himself with this wonderful instrument. And I think it makes a huge, huge, huge difference in the overall appearance of this quartet.
True, true. Portuguese guitar has a very particular and unique soul and way of singing. The strings and the way of the strings sing melodies are very powerful and very, and also like it could be like a harrow,
mm-hmm.
harrow into your
straight
heart, and you need to listen a little bit of the Portuguese guitar to understand. You, if you are listening us, you need to listen a little bit of the Portuguese guitar, and it's very, very special, very soulful. So yes, and Bruno has this great sound and great intelligence to became part of us.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk technically about this instrument. You said you have been dealing with Portuguese guitar too in your musical upbringing, so to speak. You have been studying somehow this instrument.
Yes,
so
I was listening a lot.
You were listening. You didn't play yourself, but you
no,
were,
no, 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 oh, never, okay. never. I don't play. Okay. Unfortunately, I don't play. I try to play guitar, but my pianist fingers don't like to be hurt.
Because, as we must say, it's really steel strings.
Yes,
and
steel
they,
strings.
They seem to be rather short because the instrument is small, so the tension must be quite strong. And
yes.
I can only bow to Bruno for playing this so beautifully, because they are doppelchörig, as we say in
mm-hmm,
German,
mm-hmm.
so it's like a 12-stringed instrument
mm-hmm,
with
mm-hmm.
six different, and then
mm-hmm.
the tuning, of course, is special.
The tuning is special, yes.
And it's just totally mesmerizing. I find this music is so powerful, as you say, and
it is really
like an arrow, because one tone on this instrument, and as I say, you not only recognize it as Portuguese, but you are touched by it.
And transport you to elsewhere. Yes, it's true.
Yeah.
That's great. That's great to hear.
Yeah. Julie, what's your mission in life?
To be a great father. I'm a parent.
Oh, beautiful. How old?
6 years old.
Son, daughter?
I'm sorry?
A son, a daughter?
A son.
A son, yeah.
Well, you have kids?
Yeah, I do.
Yes. Okay.
Four of them.
Four. Well, so
two grown-ups, two younger ones.
No, it's a beautiful question, and I think it's a musical question also. It changed your life, man, to be a father, to be a parent. Of course, before that, my child was music, and still is in a way. It's my sister. Music is my sister.
No,
but yes, I'm have this mission to be kind and raise my son at the same time inspire him to be a good person and a person that tries to share good things with the world. And with that, I'm a musician. I try to do that with my music, to share something that it's good for me, and I try to be good for you with that. My other mission every day is to learn to. I love to dialogue. I love to have dialogues with people, and think about stuff, and try to understand better, or try to understand differently the things, and try to know how you listen the things. So to learn, it's one of the things. I don't like to teach.
I prefer
to learn.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
So I can try to teach, of course, and sometimes I'm making master classes or wherever, but I don't teach normally because I need the time to learn, and I also think that it's very dangerous to teach.
Why? Why would you say that?
Because to teach, it's hard, because you are at the same time you are also trying to help someone, but you are also giving him your way of thinking. Yeah, your way. It's your way. It's not the only way. You understand? So it's hard to teach and at the same time teach your student there that about some other ways
to maintain their own freedom and
yes,
their
to
own
maintain
seeking
his own
and their
freedom.
Own way.
Yes, yeah. That's the hardest thing to do. And for artists, it's very important to maintain your own freedom. And one of the things that you need to do when you are trying to become something like an artist is to find your own voice. It's a common sentence, but normally you need to run away from all your teaching in a way. Well,
I'm afraid you're speaking of personal experience here.
Run away, it's maybe too much, but it's to teach. Then the school, it's a building that they are made for you.
Yeah,
But you are also trapped in that building, so you need to try to find a way of going out and see with your own eyes and ears and different the world, not just in that square or triangle or circle that
structure
you are living
in.
Structure, yes. It's well. I'm trying to express it, but it's not easy. But that's why I prefer to learn and not to teach, because to teach it's very important to teach, and we are humans, so we learn by imitate. It's the first step, but then we need to escape to our parents also.
Yeah.
So in order to become ourselves, always influenced by all our history, of course. I'm not talking about spontaneous creation or something like that. I'm just saying that to teach, it's a very, 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 very delicate mission, and we should respect teachers, and teachers should respect students. Yes.
And then, I mean, this is like makes me think of people like Nadia Boulanger, who would send Astor Piazzolla back home to Argentina, who wanted so desperately to become a 12-tone composer, and she said, "Bullshit, go study your own tradition, study your music, go with all you have and all you can, and really do this.
Yes,
find your way.
Yes,
rather than trying to imitate something that you're not.
Yes, I think it was marvelous.
So teachers can be teachers who educate towards freedom and
completely can be. I'm saying that that can be, and I think you need to find a good balance between both schools and universities are not raising artists by themselves. So artists need to find their way of creating something more unique or more single, and every person are able to do it, because every person are completely different from the other person with a completely different history and feelings. You just need to try to listen yourself and your history and wherever you... Well, you have lots of ways to understand yourself. That's why I'm saying that you have not only one way, you have a zillion ways to understand yourself and your singularity.
Yes. Julius, it was a pleasure.
Pleasure,
talking
it
to
was
you.
Mine, Tom.
Please say hello to your son, unbeknownst to me.
And you're four, you have
two girls and then two grown up kids.
Wow, great. Yeah. Congratulations.
A la prochaine. Thank you so
Congratulations.
Much.
Thank you.
Elbphilharmonie Talk. Der Gesprächspodcast der Elbphilharmonie.
Hallo, ich bin Christiane Beer, Führungskräftecoachin und Organisationsberaterin. Alle zwei Wochen habe ich in meinem Podcast Führungsgefühle Führungsmenschen zu Gast. Getreu dem Motto, Führungskräfte sind auch nur Menschen, spreche ich dabei mit meinen Gästinnen über deren Führungsarbeit und wie es ihnen im Arbeitsalltag damit geht.
Ist dann immer auch gepaart mit persönlichen Verletzungen.
Wir sprechen dann über ihr ganz persönliches Glück und Leid, Frust, Stolz, Sehnsüchte, Leidenschaften als Führungskraft, von Führungsgefühlen eben. Und wir sprechen darüber, wie sie damit umgehen.
Das ist tatsächlich etwas, was mich vom Bild her die Wellen surfen lässt.
Führungsgefühle, der Führungspodcast mit dem Blick auf ganze Menschen. Überall, wo es Podcasts gibt.